You know, this is a special opportunity for me in my journey as a minister. One of the things that I've always wanted to do was a talk about Hanukkah. And in our church, we follow the Christian year, and of course, December is all about Advent, and there just never really seemed to be a good opportunity. So last year, I thought, wow, I'm finally going to get my opportunity to talk about Hanukkah at the Open Door Center for Spiritual Living in Dillsboro. Well, it snowed. So here we are. I get to do it today. Thank you for joining us, and happy Hanukkah. Today's discussion is inspired by the story of the dedication derived from the Talmud, which is a Jewish document, and several biblical and apocryphal writings, and they're the inspiration for the Feast of Dedication, or Festival of Lights, which we know as Hanukkah. The metaphysical meanings that I'll be using today are primarily from Kabbalah.com and the Unity Publications, the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary, and the Revealing Word. And here's the story of Hanukkah as recounted on the website Chabad.org. Now the Maccabees returned to Jerusalem to liberate it. They entered the temple and cleared it of the idols placed there by the Syrian Vandals. Judah and his followers built a new altar, which he dedicated on the 25th day of the month of Kislev. Since the golden menorah had been stolen by the Syrians, the Maccabees now made one of cheaper metal. When they wanted to light it, they only found one small cruse of pure olive oil, bearing the seal of the high priest Yochanan. It was sufficient to burn for only one day. By a miracle of God, it continued to burn for 8 days, till new oil was made available. That miracle proved that God had again taken the people under protection. In memory of this, our sages appointed these 8 days for the annual thanksgiving and lighting of candles. Thus ends today's reading. Can you trust in the light? In this earthly life, we experience so many things that trigger negative emotions like fear, doubt, worry, and anxiety. But where do these emotions come from? When things are happening in a way that's contrary to what we are expecting, we tend to get frustrated or scared, which triggers the fight or flight instinct that is programmed into our physical being. But we have to remember that we do not have to respond that way. We can trust in the light of the love of God energy and use our own expressions of love and light to transmute any situation, no matter how challenging they may seem. We are approaching the end of this year's celebration of Hanukkah, the 8-day Jewish festival of lights. Many folks have heard the story about how a day's worth of oil managed to keep the lamp lit for 8 miraculous days. But the holiday is much more than about a miraculous lamp. It is about trusting in our own power as an expression of God's light to overcome negativity and oppression, physically and spiritually. There was a time when the land of Israel was under the rule of the Syrian Greek Empire. The ruler of this region, Antioch IV, or as in our music he was referred to as Antiochus, he was also known as Epiphanes, which means the beloved or the God, meaning he had the favor of the gods in his rule. The people of the empire referred to him as Epimenes, which means madman, which reveals a little bit about how he ruled. Antioch wanted everyone in his kingdom to do things his way, to follow the same religious beliefs. He accomplished this by outlawing the practice of Judaism, interfering with the activities of the Holy Temple in Jerusalem. He was also at war against Egypt. And while he was off fighting, the Romans interfered with his effort. Rumors were circulated back in Israel that Antioch had been killed. This inspired the people to rebel against the local leaders who were imposing on their lives. Antioch came back from the war, angry about the Romans' interference, and even angrier when he heard about the rebellion at home. He began a killing spree to wipe out the Jewish people. He also enacted severe laws that forbade worship, He destroyed sacred documents and banned many of the rituals that were so important in the lives of the Jewish people. Some of the people decided that they would rather fight than switch, and rebelled even harder, resulting in the death and expulsion of Syrian officers. In this story, the Maccabees were a band of Jewish freedom fighters who freed Judea from the Syrian Greek occupiers. The word Maccabees is an acronym for the Hebrew words that mean, "Who is like you among all powers, God?" In other words, expressing the power of the God within to defend themselves for what is right. Led by Judah the Maccabee and his four brothers, they trounced the Greek interlopers and restored the Holy Temple in Jerusalem to the service of God. Their victory is celebrated during the holiday of Hanukkah. Metaphysically, each name and place and situation represents aspects of our path of spiritual unfoldment, not only in the context of humanity in general, but also for each one of us individually. Maccabees represent mutual love and bestowal. Judah and Judea both mean praise of God, representing a mental attitude of Christ consciousness leading to a greater expression of divine power. Jerusalem means dwelling of peace, and it represents that place of peace in our consciousness. Syria represents intellectual pride. Yochanan, which is a variation of the name John, means God bestows mercifully and represents abundance and generosity and spirit. 8 days. 8 is the number of completion. Many Jewish customs center around a period of 8 days. And in general, the number 8 in scripture represents a new beginning, meaning a new order or creation. The temple represents the regenerated body of man, which when he attains it, he will never again leave. This enduring temple is built in the understanding of spirit as the one and only cause of all things. The Greeks represent a person's egoistic desires. And Hanukkah represents the beginning of our experience with spiritual reality, the initial crossing of the barrier between physical and spiritual principles. These meanings are reflected in the story of the Maccabees and the Greeks they were fighting with. Professor Michael Leitman of the B'nai Baruch Kabbalah Education and Research Institute explains, "The war at Hanukkah is an inner war on the barrier between the physical and spiritual worlds. In other words, egoistic powers versus those of unity, love, and bestowal. Our egoistic desires and thoughts are what stand between us and our sense of eternity, harmony, and wholeness, which is what we rejoice in when we win the war that Hanukkah represents. During this time of oppression, all of the religious artifacts had been destroyed, so there were no menorahs to light. Most of the sacred oil had also been destroyed, and they could only find one cruse of oil that had been blessed. They light it, not expecting it to burn for long, but miraculously, it lasts for 8 days, long enough to replenish their supply. Is that a miracle? Let's see as we take a look at the story again through a metaphysical eye. And what I'm going to do is take all of those metaphysical meanings and substitute them into the story so that you can kind of hear what the hidden message is in the words. Intellectual pride and selfish desires, the Syrian Greeks, have no understanding of spiritual truth, represented by Israel, and thus seek to kill the spiritual thoughts of the heart. The power of mutual love, the Maccabees, inspired by divine power, Judah, steps forth to restore the understanding of spiritual truth, the clearing of the temple. Conquering selfish pride and desire, the Syrian Greeks, and restoring peace, Jerusalem. As we recognize the abundance of God's spiritual light, Yochanan, we recognize and appreciate the blessings, Judah, and in turn express our own light, represented by the oil lamp. This renewed outlook ends a cycle of self-doubt, the 8 days, and begins a time of new strength, the temple, which establishes a new pattern or tradition of hope and giving rather than selfish motivations, represented by Hanukkah. Now let me read that again without the references. Intellectual pride and selfish desires have no understanding of spiritual truth and thus seek to kill the spiritual thoughts of the heart. The power of mutual love, inspired by divine power, steps forth to restore the understanding of spiritual truth, conquer selfish pride and desire, and restore peace. As we recognize the abundance of God's spiritual light, we recognize and appreciate our blessings, and in turn express our own light. This renewed outlook ends a cycle of self-doubt and begins a new time of strength, which establishes a new pattern of tradition of hope and giving rather than selfish motivations. It's kind of a powerful message hidden in that story, isn't it? The people of Israel had to trust in the light, literally, that the oil in the lamp would continue to burn for as long as was needed. The oil represents the abundance of the universe. By trusting, people were able to tap into that abundance. And this is something we can all do. Have you ever had an experience where time seemed to fold, and despite your perception of not enough time, you ended up with time left over? Have you ever experienced running short on something you need, but somehow you managed with what you had? Have you ever thought that you would not be able to accomplish a long list of tasks, but somehow not only did you accomplish all of those things and have the strength and inspiration to do it, you found satisfaction in having gotten it done? Have you ever worried about not being able to pay a bill, and then suddenly money comes to you from an unexpected source? Have you ever expected to be trapped in a foot of snow when you have something you need to do, and then it turns out the temperatures remained above freezing, and all you got was rain? These are all examples of tapping into universal substance, the abundance we all have access to. The menorah is the symbol of that abundance. I remember a business trip when I was working in New Jersey, and I had to leave to get to Northern Virginia that evening because we were serving at church that night. I barely had time to get back to our home in Maryland, much less drive around DC and get to Virginia in the middle of rush hour traffic. The whole way, I was visualizing a clear path ahead of me and picturing the clock slowing down so I could make better use of the time that I had. Not only did I make it quickly through several cities that are normally very congested during rush hour, I arrived at my destination a half an hour early. I had another experience at work where I had a certain amount of time to discuss a lot of material. It was like making a half an hour Reader's Digest condensed version of a 2-hour presentation. The client was asking a lot of questions, which wasn't moving things along very well. We probably should have scheduled more like an hour, but we had to deal with the time that we were allotted. There was another group waiting for the next presentation, so I asked if I could just have another 10 minutes. We got through all the material that I needed to cover and answered everyone's questions, and somehow we still had 5 minutes left over when it was all done. We were all amazed, and I can't explain what happened. I only know that it did happen. I trusted in the light. I had a clear vision of what I needed to accomplish, and the universe opened the path to make it happen. I'm not saying that these situations were miracles, any more than I will say that 1 day's worth of oil lasting 8 days is a miracle. I believe that everything in this universe is subject to natural law, and that there's a logical, scientific explanation for everything we experience, even if we don't have the knowledge or the insight to understand what that explanation is. Yes, sometimes things seem miraculous, but they happen because it's possible for them to happen. Trust that the infinite intelligence that pervades the universe knows what it's doing. I never stop being amazed at the possibilities. Now, before we conclude, let's explore the ceremony of lighting the Hanukkah, which is a special 9-branch menorah used only for the occasion of Hanukkah. The ceremony includes 3 blessings and a song. At sunset today, the 7th day of Hanukkah begins. Of course, it's not even noon here, so we'll have to bend the time zones a little bit. But as Jimmy Buffett is always happy to remind us, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. I will share the blessings in Hebrew, which are sung in reverence to the traditional image of God as a personified being. I will then explain my metaphysical interpretation of those blessings as Randy lights the candles. The candles represent the days of Hanukkah and are placed right to left and lit left to right, beginning with the current day and working backward. Because tonight begins the 7th day of Hanukkah, the space for the 8th day has been left empty. The first 2 blessings are offered each of the 8 nights of the holiday. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu lahadlik ner Chanukah. Blessed is the universal energy that guides us all, which honors us with blessings, inspiring us to share the light within. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, she'asa nesim lavutenu bayamim ha'hem bisman hazeh. Blessed is the universal energy that guides us all, and which inspired and guided our ancestors to freedom. We honor our past as we celebrate our present. The third blessing is only used on the first night of Hanukkah, but we share its meaning with you today. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, shehechianu vekimanu vehigianu lisman hazeh. Blessed is the universal energy that invigorates us, sustains us, and inspires us as we celebrate another season of gratitude. Finally, there's a song called Hanarot Halalu, which is probably a lot in the spirit of the first song we heard today, which is sung following the blessings. I'm not going to sing it. You don't want to hear me sing, and it's a little bit too much Hebrew for me. So I'm just going to give you the meaning of the song. We kindle these lights in honor of the blessings humanity has recognized over expanses of time. During the 8 days of this feast of dedication, these lights symbolize the expression of sacred oneness we share with all. We do not use the candles for their functional purpose. Rather, we see them as a symbol of the power of light within us, the glow of which reminds us to give thanks and gratitude for all of the good we experience and create in the past, now, and always. Amen. The universe is abundant, and as children of the light, with the power to manifest with our thoughts and actions, we can tap into that abundance to achieve anything we need. Trust in the light. Trust in yourself. Trust in the creative force of God that expresses within you. Let your love and light conquer selfish pride and desire. Clear the temple of your mind of all doubt, worry, fear, and negativity. And give yourself space to shine abundantly, just like this menorah. The more you work with the flow of the universe, the more it will be able to work with you to accomplish whatever it is you need. Not always what you want or the way you want it, but always what serves your highest good. And when you receive it, give thanks and celebrate what you have created. Shalom. Randy will now guide us in meditation.
Well, Reverend Mark has given us a lot to think about. The best way to process that is in the silence of meditation. So I ask that you find a comfortable position, whatever is comfortable for you. And let's breathe together today. Breath is life. Life is just a series of breaths. So let's take a deep
Let's take a deep, long, slow breath. And I want you to hold that breath for just a few minutes and release it. So take a deep breath. Hold it for just a second. Release and relax. Take another deep breath. Hold it for just a few seconds. Release and relax. One more time. Long, slow, deep breath. Hold it. One, two, three. Release and relax. Breathe normally. Relax your mind. Give your body permission to relax. Feel yourself turning away from the outer world and turning within to the world of consciousness, spirit, and light. This is your true self. So sense, feel, be aware, and just be. Begin to feel that gentle energy flowing from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, filling your body with light, deflecting all outside disturbances, leaving you in a state of inner contemplation, inner reality. This healing light restores perfect health, perfect peace. Now focus your attention on the space behind your eyes, as if you're looking into the depths of your own mind. Like a looking glass, look into the vastness of the beyond. In the stillness, feel the presence that is within you, the peace and the love that is within you. As you merge in that unified field of consciousness that is the source of all things, be still and know. gently begin to bring your awareness back to your physical body and to this sacred space. And whenever you're ready, take a deep breath and open your eyes. But retain in your consciousness the peace that comes from stillness. Be quiet. Make time for stillness. Trust the wisdom of the light within. This is the light of God consciousness manifesting and expressing in and through each one of you. This light will guide you. This light will protect you. This light will heal you, body, mind, and soul. And so it is.